I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for July 15th, 2013, to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Brown?
Here.
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mrs. Husman?
Here.
Mr. Lukey?
Here.
Mr. Milner?
Here.
Mrs. Westphal?
Here.
All seven members of City Council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. I welcome you all to our City Council meeting. If you've not been here before, I'll point out that there are agendas on the two side tables against the sidewalls there in the back. And I understand some of you are here to address a specific issue. I think we're going to be adding some of you to the agenda, the ones I know of so far. And if you don't, if I don't get you added in time, raise your hand when we get to the agenda item of interest to you, and I will recognize you at the appropriate time. At this time, I invite you to join us in our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Councilman Husman.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're up to additions to the agenda, and I'm going to go ahead and add a couple of the people that I know are here. Adding as agenda item 5A, I believe Paul Radley would like to speak to us about issues on Balfour. And Dave has 5B. A Dave McClure would like to speak about voting, boats, and RV storage issues. Yes, Mr. Sanford. Paula, excuse me. Excuse me. Wherever you are, I apologize.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Milner.
Mr. McClurg specifically tonight wants to talk about parked cars.
Parked cars.
That are not moving.
Okay. We'll straighten that out here. Okay. Those are the only additional items I have. Mrs. Westphal.
Mr. Mayor, in the pack there was some information on the job creation program policy, and I think we'd like to make a referral for committee on that tonight.
Well, let's put that down as 12A then.
And that's all I have, thank you.
Which would be the job creation credit. Referral, all right. Other members of City Council.
Here.
Mrs. Husband.
I'd like to just sell an ad or two for my two boards, the SCAP board and the Sylvania Historical Village.
And we can add you here at the end of the agenda. Is that satisfactory?
Perfect.
Selling ads, is that?
Well.
Okay. Husband, all right. We'll clarify that more when we get to it. Other members of council? Seeing none. Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Hopi?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Kevin Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Moe?
Nothing further. Nothing.
No other additions. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The agenda is approved as amended. Agenda item 4 is approval of meeting minutes from our prior meetings. We have two to approve. First, from our last regular meeting on June 17th. Mrs. Westphal.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unless there are any corrections, I move that the journal of minutes of the June 17th, 2013 meeting of Sylvania City Council be approved as submitted.
Second.
And moved and seconded to approve the meeting minutes of June 17th, 2013 as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And then for our special meeting 2 weeks ago, a little more than 2 weeks ago, July 2nd.
Thank
Actually,
you.
Less than 2 weeks ago.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unless there are any corrections, I move that the Journal of Minutes from the special meeting of July 2nd, 2013 meeting of Sylvania City Council be approved as submitted.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the special meeting minutes of July 2nd, 2013 as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and those meeting minutes are approved as well. Moving on to the first business item, city resident Gene Keating, would you like to address council regarding our dog ordinance and the limit of 4 dogs at an address? Welcome to our city council.
Thank you. I appreciate the long of the speed.
am Jean Keating. I live on Tamworth Road in the city of Sylvania and have for quite a number of years. I haven't been here since we had the discussion about the pit bull ordinance, so it's been a while. There's been a lot of new faces on city council since I've been here. But we got very busy and worked with our own Barb Sears and, you know, took it all the way to the state level, and then was the very first bill that was actually passed was the green neutral dangerous dog law for the state. So we were busy, but I'm happy to be back. Worked quite a bit on the dog law. So you can imagine my surprise when Bob Overly, the zoning administrator, showed up at my front door and wasn't home, but I got a very panicked call from one of my children saying, "Oh my gosh, Mom, this guy was here and he said we gotta give up some of our dogs because we're only allowed to have 3 dogs on our property at any one time." And I was extremely surprised, and I came home and I quickly printed off this wonderful chapter here in the ordinances on animal and fowl, gave it to my attorney, and he called me the next day and said, "I don't even know what you're talking about. There's absolutely nothing in here about it." And I said, "Well, the guy was here. I called him back. He hasn't called me back. I don't know, but he's got to be in there." And I went through it myself. It took hours. There's nothing in here about it. So I'm not really sure, number one, how the average citizen in Sylvania even knows that this exists. But upon calling Councilman Milner and then getting through to Sharon and then talking to Bob and getting a phone call back and going through this whole process, I finally came down to the definition of kennel in the Sylvania Codified Ordinances, which says it's a lot of premises on which 4 or more dogs older than 4 months of age are kept. And kennels are restricted in certain neighborhoods in Sylvania. So then I went to the Ohio Revised Code and I looked up the definition of kennel. Not even close to this. Then I looked at Toledo's and I started looking at other cities around the state, and the definition of kennel is much closer to the Ohio Revised Code in most places. So then again, we had this conversation and I said, "Well, what is the purpose of the ordinance? Because if you can only have 3 dogs on your property," and I spoke to Mr. Overly, "there's quite a few people in Sylvania like myself who work with local rescue organizations and do other things. I've been a trainer of the Humane Society for over 2 years. I bring dogs onto my property. They're there for a couple hours. We do some training, and then I take them home. Or, as today, I went to the dog warden. I picked up a dog that's going to be fostered for the Lucas County Pit Crew, and then I took it to the foster's home. But when I spoke with Bob Overly, as he said, if my children come to my home for a birthday party, and my adult children each bring their dogs, we're a violation of the ordinance." That doesn't make sense to me. And I'm trying to understand why this ordinance is in place, why nobody who lives in Sylvania can find it, nobody knows about it, why the definition of kennel is so different than that of the state's definition of kennel. And, you know, I found this, which I thought was very good. It's the American Kennel Club's alternatives to pet limit laws. And when I went through it, and went through Sylvania's animals and fowl, we have all these components right here in this chapter that deal with nuisance, the barking, confinement, you know, all the issues that create a safety problem. I'm just making an assumption that that's why somebody at some point in time put this definition in, was they were concerned about safety of residents. But we have all the components that the American Kennel Club says make for safe communities. So I'm trying to understand, if anybody knows or was around, when this definition of kennel was put in, do we even need this anymore? It just doesn't seem like we do. Someone leaves around dogs a lot, fosters dogs, works with dogs, trains dogs. I can effectively manage now that I want to. 8 or 10 dogs, given the size of my property. I have neighbors who personally I don't think can handle one because they bark incessantly and they go to work and they leave them out in the yard. And they don't even know where the dog is half the time because they're not home. And it's out there barking, barking, barking until it digs under the fence and it goes running down the street. But we have laws that deal with that. I wouldn't even want them to have 3 dogs that they're allowed because they're having a hard time with one. There's lots of people who can handle more than the 3. I'm curious, does anybody know why this was put in place?
I cannot answer specifically. I don't know, but I would assume it was a concern with a neighbor somewhere or a community member that was abusing the privilege and was had a dog production thing going on in their house, people would not want that in their neighborhood. So at some point, this was championed probably by a resident and by a city council member and inserted in the code. The only time I remember it coming up in my time is when the Ability Center went with their recent program for assistance dogs, and we needed to address it in that case, and we got around it with them. We gave them, they have the proper zoning, or they had the right thing to get around it. We have had another issue in another neighborhood, not your neighborhood, where there were four or five dogs, and the neighbors were feuding. And one neighbor used this against another, and they weren't taking care of the extra dogs well. That's the best I can answer I can give you without more research. This is the sort of issue that probably needs to be referred to city council onto its zoning and annexation committee and take some testimony and see if council wants to do anything with it.
Would it be something that could potentially be put to safety committee as opposed to the zoning committee? Because I'm wondering if there really isn't more safety.
That's up to the chairman of these two committees. That's up to council. That's not my decision. It's the president of council, and the zoning chairman might want it in his, and he might not. He's got a couple other zoning issues going on right now. But it really is his. It's in the zoning code, so that's, he gets first shot at.
Yeah, I forget the age of this. I believe this predates my involvement on council, which has only been 10 years. I know I've looked at that section before. When I saw it, I knew the number was three, but I don't know that we've ever addressed the substance of that. Mark, do you call if we have?
Yeah, I think just to refresh the mayor's memory, we did have a situation where it became a little tricky because a neighbor was having more than three because she had her children's dogs staying with her for some period of time, and then they'd rotate out. So she was technically in violation, and I'm actually not remembering how we resolved that, but that was the last time we talked about this. I don't remember. This was here when we got here, Doug, 10 years ago. If I may ask, what I didn't have an opportunity to look at the material you handed out. Are you suggesting that we not have a limit on dogs, or help us think about how you want us to consider this?
I mean, I think dogs are considered property, in the state of Ohio, and people can own as much property as they properly care for. So it would make more sense, given that the animals and fowl ordinance is really very good and addresses the nuisance issues of running at large and barking and cleaning up feces, which are the main issues that should impact one's neighborhood and things like that. We already have that well addressed. So why would we limit people who enjoy dogs to a specific number? And how do we pick the number? I mean, that really becomes the issue because, when you look at a piece of property, I look at my backyard and I think, I could have three African Bordeaux who weigh about 220 apiece. Or I could have three Yorkies. Where's the rationale? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I could seriously be impinging on the safety of my neighbor.
Although you taught us several years ago not to go down the breed path.
Down the breed path, I'm saying size. 220 pounds of dog in my yard. The pooping alone would be irritating. You know what I'm saying? Would be irritating. The neighbors on both sides. Because you have to be out there. Every minute they're out there, and the barking and the jumping, even on a 6-foot-high privacy fence, would be somewhat intimidating to someone on the other side when the dog's head is actually coming over the fence, as opposed to three little Yorkies who probably, if you cleaned up the poop twice a week, you would be okay. And that's really the issue, is I don't understand why we limit people to a number, as opposed to just going with, if you can properly care for those animals within our animals and fowl ordinances, then you should have the right to own that property. And if you can't even control one or two, then if your neighbors are calling and saying, that dog is chained 24/7, he barks all night long, we have ordinances to deal with that. We can limit people from even owning one or two if it's a nuisance.
Mm-hmm.
We probably ought to look at, we ought to...
That sounds not like safety.
I thought it sounded like safety.
There's another thought I had as well. There's a difference between you having dogs there that you're taking care of versus somebody that's raising dogs to sell for profit. That's running a business out of a residence, and we have other parts of the code that says you're not supposed to do that as well. But that's a difference. It doesn't sound like you're raising these dogs as a business to sell them. You're taking care of them or enjoying them as your own property. That is a difference.
I can't speak for all of the rescues in the area, but I know there's a number of rescues that have foster homes within the city of Sylvania, and at least the rescues that I'm affiliated with stay and neuter all their pets. I'm sure there are other individuals who, you know, breed and show dogs in the city who also want to enjoy their animals too, although I may be against, you know, overbreeding of certain types of dogs and things. I mean, it is their right, as long as my neighbor is breeding Yorkies or whatever, as long as they stay in his yard and they're not barking at all hours of the night, that's his, you know, it's his business. He wants to breed them. But as far as the impact on the rescues and things like that, I mean, that was my concern because, you know, when I spoke to Bob and he said, you know, you got to get rid of one of those foster dogs because you're going to be over three.
And we want Bob to enforce the code the way we've written it, so that's not Bob.
Oh, no, it's not Bob at all. But when I asked Bob, when I had a chance to speak to him, and I said, I don't want my dogs bothering people. Okay?
Right.
I don't want to be bothering my neighbors. What is the complaint? And he said, a neighbor called and said that one of your dogs jumps against the fence and it shakes.
Okay. Well, Mr. Mayor, ignoring Reed Bacchus's advice to me when I came on council to stay away from issues involving cats and dogs. And Reed served for over 37 years on council, and I learned a lot from him, and of course, now I'm going to go against his good advice and suggest we refer this to zoning and annexation for further consideration and discussion.
All right.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
I'll second.
All right, there's a motion on the floor. However, before I ask on that, is there anyone else in the room that would like to address this issue as well? Thank you for your comments. Before we vote on that, are there other people here that would like to speak on that issue? Not seeing any, we will...
Yeah. Before we do that, Mr. Mayor, I would think it would be helpful to help inform the discussion if the law department could get us some benchmark ordinances from comparable communities.
We certainly can from
I think that'd be helpful.
Communities, yes.
I'm not sure Toledo is relevant per se, but I think Perrysburg and Maumee, the typical
suburban
communities, would be very helpful to know what they're doing, just so that we can, not to suggest that that's the state of the art, but just so that we can have a sense of context.
It is always good to know what other communities have done to address the same issue.
And by the same token, if you, Ms. Keating, could, if you have some ordinances that you think might be appropriate, and again, you might have handed those out to us tonight in this handout, but...
I think the American Council is kind of the state of the art.
Okay.
Recognized, but I think the other issue with looking at the other ones is that I think you want to look at the challenges to pet limit laws in the last year, because of course, you know, that's why I gave it to my attorney and asked him to look at legal challenges to it. And they are at least three cases that he found in Ohio. They were all
on the unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then let's ask the law department to help come up with that as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or maybe your lawyer could share those with us. That would be helpful.
Your lawyer? Yeah.
Yeah. If you've already done the work, he could share that with
great.
Us.
Great. I think the point is the more information and context that the members of council and members of the committee have, the more helpful that would be.
Okay, there is the motion on the floor to take this issue to the Zoning and Annexation Committee for their comments and report back to council. So all in favor of that referral indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I recommend you stay in touch, particularly with Mr. Hanum, concerning this issue. He will be scheduling a meeting to begin discussion. It probably won't happen right away. We've been assigned some research to do in anticipation of it.
Thank
you for your comments.
Gene, if you would give your contact, make sure our clerk has your contact information. We'll make sure to contact you when we have a meeting. Yeah.
All right. With that, let's move on to added agenda item 5A. Paula Radley would like to discuss an issue on Balfour. My apologies about mispronouncing your name earlier.
Not a problem.
I do the best I can writing these things down.
My father's Paul, so although we don't have answers yet. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. Gentlemen, I give you commendation for wearing suits and ties in 90-degree weather. My name is Paula Radley. I live in the city of Toledo. I moved there approximately 4 years ago. My now ex-husband and I currently own the property at 5767 Balfour. You've heard from a number of my neighbors who have come and talked to you about the property that is to the south of mine. I will continue to refer to it in a singular. This evening, I am on representing the north side of this property. Neighbors with me are representing the east side of the property and neighbors on the south side of the property. This particular property is 5755 Balfour and has been in a state of disrepair since almost the moment Mr. and Mrs. B purchased the property in January of 2009. My neighbors have commented to you in no uncertain terms that something be done to the owners or with the owners and of the property. It is a blight. It is unsanitary. We have all done a great amount of research, and I spoke with Mr. Sanford this evening, who is assisting us in our situation. I know these things don't happen overnight, but calls and such have been addressed to the city, even up to the point of a couple of months of this family moving in. What I'd like to say this evening is that, one, Mrs. B is now divorced from Mr. B. According to heirs, she is now the sole owner of this property. And the house was to go up for sheriff's sale earlier this year. That was taken away, and the court-appointed attorney representing Mrs. B negotiated with the magistrate for an extension so that she could make payments on her delinquent, her past due taxes, which as of this moment total $13,415.56. Not one payment has been made since they moved on this property, nor have there been any great improvements. What I talked to Mr. Sanford about this evening was, not going over what you've already heard, is that I found out about this council meeting when I contacted the magistrate, City of Toledo, Lucas County, about the taxes. And I called the City of Sylvania, and they said that this evening there would be a council meeting where I could talk to you about this situation. The woman that I spoke to on the phone was very cordial, gave a lot of information, and told me that my neighbors had been here to address the situation. Knowing that it was this evening, I decided that I needed to participate with them. Mrs. B has had several continuances through the magistrate, through this foreclosure process, and she has another court hearing, if I reference this correctly, over the phone, this coming Wednesday. People are not allowed to attend because it's all on the phone. In talking to Mara Takau, forgive me if I've mispronounced her name, but in talking to Mari, she can only do so much in regards to the fact that the Bs are behind over $13,000 with the Lucas County tax division. I believe they are also behind on their water bills, and there is another governmental agency that they are behind on also. When I asked for Mr. Sanford, I asked, what do you want to say this evening? What would you like to see done? What I would like to see done is that tomorrow, someone, possibly Mr. Sanford, will be on the phone with Mari and saying that on Wednesday, Mrs. B no longer be given a continuance on the situation regarding this property. That this property goes up to a sheriff's sale. Neighbors are willing to buy this property. Next door neighbor on the south side wanted to purchase it, actually knock it down and make it part of their family estate. So this won't, we won't be going away. We'll see you once a month until the situation is taken care of. And again, I reiterate, I would like to see tomorrow on the phone with the magistrate, not allowing any more kindnesses to this particular property owner. In living in the city of Toledo, I do live in the Old West End. One of the things I've learned is I belong to a special committee called the Old West End Preservation Committee. I have found out that when a property owner is 1 year behind on their taxes, the city of Toledo has the opportunity to proclaim those taxes delinquent and foreclosed on said property. You've been sitting on this property to the tune of over $13,000, in addition to the hazards, safety, and also the Department of Child and Family Services. I thank you very much for your time, and I hope that we see a stronger action in this situation to maintain the stability of the redheaded stepchild of our city of Sylvania. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Just to inform council, Mr. Sanford has been assigned by my office to work and see if he can find resolution on this. I need to ask more about the city of Toledo can foreclose after 12 months. I'm not familiar with that in the city of Sylvania. We are not in the tax collection business. We can express an opinion, but we cannot force a foreclosure that I'm aware of. I'll have the law director explore that possibility. But I would like to do, Mr. Sanford, if you're willing, give us a summary of what you found or what you're doing at this time.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I did meet last week about a dozen of the neighbors, on Belfour, got more detail on some of the issues that they had mentioned at council, and I told them what I'd like to do is research some of the issues that were brought up, put together a game plan of how we're best to resolve the situation. We talked about 5755, which is Mrs. B's property, and they also made note of some other properties that were primarily rental properties on Belfour that were not keeping their yards up to snuff, so to speak. So we're looking at those also. So right now in the process of following up, I have talked to the magistrate that was mentioned in the court. I talked to Mrs. B, talked to Mrs. B's attorney. I've talked to Children's Services, and I've also been in contact with the Health Department. So there's a lot of things in progress going on, and I'll give a report on resolution of all those issues. And I'm also going to get with Mr. Eller, and we're going to talk about the nuisance abatement issues that we're going to address.
Mr. Mayor, for the record, what are the legal remedies that we have at our disposal in our municipality? I guess in these types of situations, what are the remedies that we have that we can use?
I'm going to ask the law director to ask that. I think I know what they are, but you said legal. This is legal.
Well, first of all, I was surprised to hear about the ability of City of Toledo to foreclose on Lucas County property tax. I think that's a Lucas County matter, and so I don't believe that the city of Sylvania has that legal authority to press forward on those property taxes. We obviously have our zoning code. We have a nuisance abatement code, both of which are our forces to be able to implement compliance through our court system. We have a civil infraction process. We have a criminal court process that we can implement if there's violations that are warranted for that process. I'm not exactly sure beyond that what you might be alluding to.
Well, no, I just thought it's important for us to get on the record what we can and cannot do. So with back taxes, we really have no remedies at our disposal.
No.
We talked last month about a similar situation, the Crandall home on Main Street.
Correct.
And we talked a bit about the fact that Mr. Crandall at some point had actually had some violations from in front of a judge, right? I mean, he part of the reason we were able to exercise leverage with him is that he had been to court, he had been issued some penalties, and he refused to respond to them. And I think he got to the point where he was potentially going to go to jail, right? And right. And I don't understand how that situation is different than this situation.
It's not different. But again, that stream of action didn't have anything to do with property taxes.
That had to do with what?
Those were cases that we filed in Sylvania Municipal Court, which I indicated the criminal
process, which
generated fines that were doing.
But based on the Lucas County inspector, correct? Building inspector?
Well, we certainly said that the Lucas County building inspector was involved in it on an abatement situation, but there were also code violations.
Okay.
It was the code violation cases upon which criminal fines were imposed.
Okay, so I think we agreed last time that may well apply in the case of the home on Balfour, correct?
The same codes apply for the
Balfour. Yeah, right. So I guess I would ask you or Mr. Sanford to add to your repertoire of remedies here that piece. I thought you were going to do that, actually, based on our conversation last month, to get the county building inspector to come out, take a look at it, starting to cite the property owner for a variety of violations so that we could start our own process in place to hold these folks accountable. So if that's not been done yet, I'd simply ask that you ask Mr. Sanford to include that in his approach.
All right. Any further comments? Yes, ma'am. You've spoken in the past. Come on up.
Hi, Linda Castell, 5831 Balfour. One of the things that Ms. Ramsey did not bring up that I want to be sure is publicly brought to your attention is the fact that her real estate agent has provided she and her husband with a letter, and that letter was passed on to Mr. Sanford last week, stating that the reason that her home cannot be sold is because of that house next door. And I believe, is it okay for me to tell publicly? They have dropped the price of their home $20,000 for the seller, and that home cannot be sold because of the state of the house next door. And I just think that is something else worthwhile that needs to be publicly brought up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Costello. All right. I appreciate your input.
Yeah, could we ask Mr. Sanford to keep us posted maybe every week or so on
absolutely.
How
he is doing that for me, and there's no reason he can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to be meeting again for a month, and that seems a little long to let this meander on.
He has been preparing memos for me, and we will share those on.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Electronically. Okay, with that, I'd like to move on to added agenda item 5B. Dave McClurg wants to talk to us about a parking issue. Welcome back to our city council chamber.
Last time I was here, before we went on the occasion, I brought you all pictures of junk cars, basically. 5856 Highland View. The fellow's daughter lives at 5866 Highland View, and she also has two cars that do not operate. I'm just wondering, maybe I'm not going to. If I talked to Joe Shaw with Kevin and Howard sent me, but I haven't had a chance to talk to him, so I don't know if he got any where the cars are still there, so I guess they did.
Cars are licensed? And they run.
They do run?
Yes, sir.
All four of
them? Two that are parked in the street. They're only two parked in the street and two cases.
All right, well, the ones that I'm familiar with is the father's house. I don't think Bob ever asked them if they operate.
I'm sorry, which two he...
Those are the blue.
Those are the only two in the street. I don't know which address.
5866 is the daughter's address. Her cars are on another street. Anyway, the garage is on another street. Now, she does, yeah, she did have them. She does have stickers on them. But the other two, the one car doesn't even have a grill, so they could have put the sticker in. He does have a license on the one car now, but no sticker. And I have a feeling, since they haven't moved one of them for 7 years, that it's probably not operable.
Ones are in the street.
Well, these aren't in the street. These are in the garage.
All right.
If they're tagged, there's nothing against the code of most being in the garage.
Well, I looked up the...
They were tagged.
Huh?
It's indicated that they were.
Two of the daughters, she went out and bought a license plate for them, but they've never moved it here. And the father, he has a plate on one car, but no sticker. So I don't know if they took one off the other car or put it on there, but the problem is, those cars haven't moved one, as opposed to seven, like here. 5856 Highland View. Two blue, one's a sable, one's a fish puppy. So one's got a jack underneath it, and he goes out and pumps up the tires. Yeah, the other two, the daughters, I have, those haven't moved either. I mean, they may be operable, but...
What address is that? What's the address of the other one?
5866. They're right next door.
All right.
One garage is around.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I
had pictures.
I just gave you some pictures of a month or so ago. But the one point I want to make was, I looked up the definition of a junkyard, which is two or more cars that are inoperable. So they're running two junkyards.
Two less than four.
Huh?
It's two less than
four. So anyway, I just wanted...
We appreciate you coming with that information, and I will direct both the service director and the chief of police to pursue this information. I'll go out and take a look personally at what's out there. But if somebody hasn't moved for 7 years, that's pretty suspect.
Yeah, that car operates off the main space. Plus, the guy next door to them that's trying to sell his house, he's got no chance.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you for that information. Okay. Appreciate all of you attending. We're going to move on in our agenda back to our published agenda item 6, which has to do with Maplewood Marketplace improvements. There are two change orders in your council packets. The Maplewood Marketplace, they are scheduled a grand, or Interact Marketing has scheduled a grand opening there next Thursday, July 25th at 5 p.m. And we have been accumulating change orders. The two different change orders have to do with the building itself and with the improvements we were committed to make to the parking lot behind the duplexes. And as soon as Mr. Aller is done talking about parking the cars, we're going to move on to these change orders, Mr. Aller. You have a report concerning the Maplewood Marketplace building improvements. That's change order number one in your council packet. And why don't we go over this one first, Mr. Allard?
All right, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The contractor on the project is Paul Avery Company. They've done a good job through the construction of the project. In the course of construction, as with almost any construction, you find things that weren't what you expected. Things that needed to be changed because of existing materials, buried walls, or floors, or what have you. We ran into several of those through the course of this project. There was a lot of demolition and wall moving and things of that nature. The electrical panels that were existing had to be changed out once we started trying more electrical demand into that channel with the evidence. It's just that they're working with a boom there. The channel itself is the wall is in such shape. So that was the time. The major, two major items in this change order was the roof supports for the air handling unit. They weren't sufficient enough that the space between them was too great. The problem that people proposed that it was. So we had to beef up those roof supports as well. And make sure that there's something to that. Obviously, something happens to that. Other items were during the course of the project, we discovered that there was no separation wall between this new space and the rest of the building. Some places where they're called firewall. Firewall, the definition of the firewall is different from what it's like here, but it essentially describes
working in an old building like this can be challenging. Changing the use of the space made it even worse. These change orders amount to less than 4% change in the contract. That's well within reason. I don't think this is a problem. One more question though, Mr. Allard. I know there were some cosmetic changes being discussed and those prices being borne directly by Interrupt Marketing.
These are only items that we agreed to pay that we should provide that, that we believe we should provide that.
All right. We do have in your council packet ordinance 53-2013 to approve these change orders, which the administration recommends. Mrs. Hussman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce ordinance number 53-2013. All members of council previously receiving copies, I would like to read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to approve change order number 1 to this city's agreement with Paul Avery Company Incorporated for the Maplewood Marketplace Improvement Project, which reflects the actual materials used and work performed on this project. Increasing the contract amount by $22,105.78, appropriating funds, therefore, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second. It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 53-2013 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 53-2013.
Second.
moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 53-2013 as emergency measure. All papers say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 53-2013 is approved. Now let's move on to the second set, the second change order here, which is a different contractor and is for the parking lot installation that was required by the lease we've signed but with interrupt, but something the city council wanted to provide for additional parking downtown as well. The scope of the project increased because we needed to replace an access drive to the parking area. We found that it was just 4-inch thick concrete and was going to break down over time. But let's have the service director give a clearer answer than that. But did we change the scope of the work to make this an operable project?
Yes, yes, there was a change in scope and some other items found during construction, as you indicated. Right when the project got started, we had one of the huge rains that we had through this past spring. And construction was going on the interior, of course. And we were just getting ready to start the parking area. And we had a lot of water, not standing water, but a lot of water lost for the interior building. Since the contractor was on site, we had them excavate down along the building and found that we had several areas that needed to be tuck pointed and re-bordered, and was just in poor shape, frankly. So timing was everything, really. And we directed the parking lot contractor to take care of those items. We got everything sealed off, put a waterproof membrane on the exterior of that work, and subsequent drains have proven that we have access to that work with that cost of $7,500. When you're replacing streets, parking areas, what have you, it's never uncommon once you start the excavation to find some poor stuff there. We had some of that right in the middle of that parking area. So we had to excavate, do some additional excavating and get the mucky soil out of there, put some good material back in, and then put the subbase on top of that. That was at a cost of $1,175. And then the large cost item was that driveway. I would have, most any driveway that's ever done is 6 inches, a concrete driveway is 6 inches. We did not anticipate for the road that was only 4 inches. Obviously, when the heavy construction equipment comes to that, additional work in the amount of $19,716.27 that's shown incorporated in the form, and we do recommend approval of this change order as well.
If you have not visited this new parking area, I recommend you do. We were able to save all except one of the trees, and it was a smaller tree that we had to take out. It's actually not a bad parking lot there. It's going to work well, both for the Maplewood Marketplace and for other downtown parking. We could have been much more intensive and taken down the trees, but we chose not to do that. We do have ordinance 54-2013 in your council packets to approve this change, and the administration recommends its approval as well. Mrs. Huskin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce ordinance number 54-2013. All members of council previously receiving copies, I would like to read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and the director of finance to approve change order number one, final to this city's agreement with Shone Incorporated for the Maplewood Marketplace Improvements Parking Lot Construction Project, which reflects the actual materials used and work performed on this project, increasing the contract amount by $19,716.27, appropriating funds, therefore waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded in ordinance number 54-2013 be read by title only, and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 54-2013.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 54-2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Ordinance 54-2013 is approved. And again, I invite all of you to come to the open house, see this very good office space that's been added to our downtown. We have an open house and a ribbon cutting next Thursday, the 25th, at 5 p.m. Let's move on to agenda item 7. This is our 2013 street resurfacing project. We authorized bids for this earlier in the summer. We now have those bids back in. We have a report from the service director, Mr. Allen.
So I said we received two bids for this year.
This is street or residential street repaving. Sylvania has been doing residential street improvements for a decade and a half without assistance from property owners. We have slowed the process down in more difficult economic times, but we need to keep the process going. Mr. Aller, these four streets were identified by your pavement maintenance program, is that correct?
Pavement condition rating system.
Okay, so we have taken the ones with the worst ratings in the community, and we have, that's why we're working on these streets. Administration, it is in the budget. The city recommends approval of ordinance 55-2013. Mr. Milner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 55-2013. All members of council previously receiving copies, I'll read by title only. Accepting the bid of Gherkin Paving Incorporated and awarding the contract for the 2013 resurfacing project to same, authorizing the expenditure for the project in the amount of $125,761.78, appropriating funds, therefore, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 55-2013 be read by title only, and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, ordinance number 55-2013.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 55-2013 as an emergency measure.
Mr. Mayor.
All in favor say aye.
Mr. Mayor, I would just note for discussion that the four streets we're talking about include Balfour. I don't know.
It's the northern portion north of Marshall, and it's not immediately in the area of Mrs. B's house or your house. They're farther north. But it is a deteriorated road. If you go up there, you see that there's some rutting in it and some other problems. They were not selected for that reason. It was part of the pavement condition
I understand.
The city maintains in all of its streets.
We didn't do it because you were here. We did it because of our system. But I thought since you were here, you should know about it.
Mr. Mayor, perhaps for the record, we should read the other streets. Lane Street, Winding Way, Country Place, and Balfour, north of Marshall's. Four for the contract.
That's correct. Okay, we've already moved and seconded final passage as an emergency measure. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 55-2013 is approved. Mr. Allery, you have any idea on the contract for schedule for this work?
I don't for this particular work. Griffin Paving is also a subcontractor on the other two large projects that we have, the Erie Street bridge replacement and the Grove Street reconstruction. They'll also be performing the asphalt work for those two projects. I would assume that it's their desire to perform all the projects, writing separate orders.
Contractually, by the bidding documents, their obligation is the end of October.
That's correct.
Okay. Hopefully, we'll move it along sooner. All right, moving on to scheduled item 8. This is proposed ordinance 46-2013. This is another community reinvestment area we're back to you with a new drawing and hopefully an ordinance that you will pass this evening. I'm going to have the law director go over this one. If you hadn't noticed, we did have some large ads in the Free Press newspaper this week describing the other CRAs. They are extensive legal ads and drawings that are required. And if you pass this one, we may have yet another one to publish. Mr. Moe.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This particular territory is one that council has considered on a couple of occasions. And I believe that we have established the territory that council asked us to do. And the exhibit that I would like you to change out on CRA number 8 is to insert this one in and remove the one that was provided in your council packet, which is the multicolored one. Both are correct, but this one is easier to understand and look at. And as the official document that goes to the Department of Development, I wanted to use this one. But now we have a
down there.
Well, actually, down in front of us, we have the larger version. Let me set that up of this particular exhibit. We will use that in the course of presentations, which we expect to have in the future with the property owners. And the reason that we have this particular exhibit was to answer some of council's questions about, you know, contingencies or touching the property of the districts on either side. And we've accomplished that. We've extended it north of Alexis to take into account those territories we felt that would also benefit from this district. The terms are identical to CRAs number 8 and number 1. We have left other CRA districts for us to continue to work on for expansion and upgrade. We may take a pause and see whether or not that might also be of interest to some of our abutting property or owners in the township. And so we'll be back to you on those in due course. But I think CRA number 6 is appropriate for passage tonight. If there's questions about it, I'd be happy to answer it. But I think this is one that we would pass. Again, like the other ones, and as the mayor indicated, we have to publish 2 consecutive weeks this particular district, then sent down to the Department of Development for final acceptance, and then we'll be in business on this district as well.
These particular boundaries have been discussed by council on a few occasions. We've responded to your comments. That's what's better about this drawing. It does show that it is contiguous with 2 other CRA districts as requested. So I think we're in good shape on this one, and the administration recommends approval of ordinance number 46-2013. Mr. Lukey, would you like to do this one or have the president of council read this one?
Happy to do it.
Good.
I'd like to introduce ordinance number 46, 2013. Copies have been provided previously to members of council, therefore I'll read by title only. Amending Community Reinvestment Area Number 6, designating a housing officer, establishing a Community Reinvestment Area Housing Council, repealing Resolution Number 26-96, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 46-2013 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage of ordinance number 46-2013.
Second. Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 46-2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 46-2013 is approved. Mrs. Westfall.
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to take a moment to extend my appreciation to the law director for his hard work in pulling this together, and to all members of council for your diligence in really pursuing aggressively what was the right combination of areas for this particular CRA. I think it was felt like a long and arduous effort, but I think that it all paid off. And so I thank you all for your hard work, and I thank you, Mr. Moan, as well.
Thank you, Mrs. Westphal. Agenda item 9 is kind of a companion issue. City Council has requested a clarification of appointments to those housing reinvestment area members. In the past, those have been within the administration. And Mr. Moan, why don't you explain what you're doing here?
Yes. At the request of council, we just wanted to establish the process for making appointments to this this council. And on that basis, we prepared the resolution, which basically just clarifies, it makes it similar to what council does on other appointments to boards. There is a typo that we would ask to be deleted from this resolution. If you'll notice, under the now wherefore or therefore, we have somehow the computer inserted Sylvania Township Board of Trustees. You just draw a line through that portion, then the reference to the city of city council and the city of Sylvania is solely there. So with the passage of this resolution, and again, as you heard, we have a little bit of time before this thing becomes codified through the Ohio Department of Development, and we will work with council on going through the process to make this appointment. I believe that we can make an appointment to this board in the next month or two. It's not something that needs action tonight.
Okay, I guess the question for the president of council is, do we want to take a look at this further in a committee, or are we prepared to act on it tonight? We had chatted a little bit about taking another look, but it's fairly straightforward.
Mr. Lutke, I do think it's fairly straightforward. If you feel there's a need to refer it to committee, certainly we're happy to do that. We haven't sent it to that committee.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think the language is exactly what Mr. Moan, or what we talked about. Mm-hmm. Again, I compliment Mr. Moan, so I don't know. I think we should move it along.
Unless someone else has a concern on that.
Would somebody like to introduce the resolution?
Sure, happy to. I'd like to introduce resolution number 9, 2013. Copies have been made available previously to members of council, therefore I'll read by title only. A resolution establishing a procedure for the Sylvania City Council's appointments to the Community Reinvestment Area Housing Councils, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Moved and seconded that resolution number 9, 2013 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage of resolution number 9, 2013.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of resolution 9, 2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and resolution 9, 2013 is approved. Moving to agenda item 10, you have a report from the Municipal Planning Commission Secretary regarding the action taken by the Planning Commission in this room last Wednesday night on three additional properties on Main Street, south of 10 Mile Creek, on the west side. You recall, I asked you at the previous meeting to set four public hearings concurrently. These properties are all adjacent to one another. They are between the River Center Clinic, just on the south side of the creek, and almost down to St. Joe's. There might be another zoning change coming in for the most southerly property, though we do not have that one yet. I've heard that the owner is preparing it. But this is a report to you that the Planning Commission did recommend this change in zoning to a B2 zoning district as opposed to the current R3 multiple dwelling zoning designation. No action is required by City Council at this time because we met the advertising deadline. They can all be concurrent on August 19th. That's our next council meeting at 7 p.m., and you can consider them all at the same time. Again, no action is required at this time. If any of you would like to make a comment, that would be appropriate.
I didn't understand this.
Can you read that?
Not sure that's part of the... I guess that really wasn't addressed.
This was addressed before. I'm not sure what he was saying.
I think this was addressed, and now that I look at it, I see it's addressed to the Planning Commission.
What he was concerned about is the first one that came in, the Planning Commission recommended, could be interpreted as spot zoning because it did not attach to other B2 zoning at the River Center Clinic. But these three additional properties, it's no longer spot zoning. It's contiguous zoning.
Yeah, I think just so the record's clear, I think the original, the July 11th memo from Deborah Webb, the matter that is the applicant matter, considering her.
That's why we wanted them all heard at the same public hearing, not do the first one ahead of the others. They all should be considered at the same time.
And we'll be, and we don't do spot zoning, so we'll be doing those all together.
That's correct.
Right.
And that, again, is for our next council meeting on Monday, August the 19th. We're doing them all at 7 p.m. Agenda item 11, the committee reports. Mr. Hayden, we did have your committee on here for a report of your committee meeting on June 18th.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, the Zoning and Annexation Committee did meet on June 18th to review another new proposal at that time from the administration. That proposal was dated June 13th, and I think we were in general agreement with what was proposed, we did have some discussion items, some additional changes that we were interested in discussing further. We expanded one of the definitions relating to recreational vehicles, insisting that good repair included, made it clear that permanently unusable equipment doesn't qualify. That's consistent with the Planning Commission recommendation on this point. Our general thought was that recreational vehicles on corner lots generally be permitted. Recreational vehicles and residential lots not exceed 20 feet in length. This wasn't uniform, but it was sort of where we were. And that maintenance of recreational vehicles in any manner other than as set forth in the new rules would be prohibited unless the owner of the property secures a variance from the Board of Zoning Appeals. We have some additional discussions on that, but we kind of left it as the general consensus of the committee. We sent it back to the administration. I'm sure we will have additional discussion. We do not have, we don't have proposed legislation yet. Matter remains actively under consideration, I think. I know Mr. Moen and I and Mr. Allard have had some interim discussions about some of the issues, but those we haven't really come to a conclusion, so we're continuing to work on that issue.
Thank you for that report. Questions from other members of the committee or council? Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Hayner, I just want a point of clarification. You indicated that recreational vehicles on corner lots shall be prohibited, is that correct?
Well, that's what we talked about in that meeting.
I think that is.
And here's the rub here. The rub is that, and there wasn't uniform agreement on that, and there was not uniform agreement that, we could not uniformly agree to just ban recreational vehicles on corner lots or ban all recreational vehicles. The way we found that, this idea that that would be the rule in the absence of a case-specific permit issued by the Board of Zoning Appeals. That creates other issues for, including issues regarding, concern regarding enforcement issues and procedural issues that we haven't addressed in the code. And so we're continuing to look at those and think about those, and we will undoubtedly be discussing this issue more once the administration and council, we'll have to talk about it some more. So we don't have, again, we do not have proposed legislation. We have a talking piece, and we have issues that still need to be resolved. This is a trying to come up with a one-size-fits-all rule for all problems, for all these situations, is proving thorny, difficult, and may not be possible. And that's part of why we're trying to look at whether some sort of variance or permit procedure might help. But that raises other issues. Mon, if I, or Mr. Aller, if I've misstated any of that.
I think we had it right on.
All right. Thank you for your report. Are there any other committee reports to be made at this time? Mr. Brown.
I'd like to make a comment. Thank Kevin Aller for his help at the Senior Center with the contractors, and suggesting contractors, and with the bid process. They're going to be redecorating the inside of the Senior Center, and Kevin put in a lot of time on getting his appropriate contractors and worked through the bid process with them, and we came up with some very good contractors to perform that work. And I'd like to thank you for that.
Mr. Brown, I did read about that, carpeting and painting. Okay, very good. It's hard to believe that Senior Center is old enough to require that, but it's 10 years old. Yep. I recommend caution in color selections as well. Color selection by committees can be a dangerous. Okay. Let's move on to committee referrals. Mrs. Westfall added the job creation program. That's information item E. The draft of that's in your council packets. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to make a recommendation that we refer this job creation program application guidelines document to the Economic Development Subcommittee for their further review and recommendation.
I'll second that. I just note, we have this. We have something like this, don't we?
We have one from 1994.
Okay, so this is an update?
This is an update and a rewrite, yes.
Okay, so, all right, well, maybe I'll attend the meeting and find out how it's changed.
Recent experience has shown that we needed to change some of the terms.
Yeah.
And I think you'll listen to the story, but we need to make some changes.
Yeah, I like this better.
Okay. So we need to have a seconded by Doug to refer this to the Economic Development Subcommittee. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is first of all, I'd like to
I can do either the 7th or the 8th. And I can do... I can do the 25th, too.
Okay.
Could we do it in the morning?
No, we have a few folks that can't.
Okay. We can't do the 20th. 24th is out, 25th is out.
Yeah, we're on the 24th, yeah.
24th, I think.
You can, yes, you can. Okay.
So, if you need to set it on the 8th, then I'll just need to take something.
No. Is the problem the morning or the day? Because let's look at the afternoon, like if it's 5 o'clock, okay, on either the 7th or the 8th.
I can't do the 25th in the afternoon, I could do the 24th.
How about the 5th?
I could do that.
What I meant was 5 o'clock, 6.
I could do that.
6 or 6, right? 6, okay. Sandy?
Yeah.
Okay, so, Sharon, 5 o'clock, in conference. Thank you.
Do we need to post that on this column?
Yes.
Start to post that, like, on Tuesday, August the 6th, at 5 p.m. in these council chambers.
Yeah.
All right. Any other committee referrals to be made at this time? Hearing none, we'll go on to add agenda item 13. This is Sussman selling ads for two boards who are on and would like to promote status for affiliate. This is Sussman.
Thank you. Yes, Scat's golf outing is this coming month, August 16th. It's a Friday in the afternoon. And I have, if you want to form a team, and then if you're not a golfer or you don't want to contribute to that, we have the Historic Village Fossil Fest needs money as well to put that on. And that's Fossil Fest is September 22nd. And I can give you information. They're asking for the money to be turned in by the end of July so they can do their planning. And I would be happy to share any of these papers with anyone who's interested. Both of these boards are working at fundraising, and these are their fundraisers. So appreciate any contributions or interest in this. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
If it would help individual council members if they do want to play in the golf outing. I know that Chief Rodas was trying to assemble a group as well. Some of us, I was already asked by Judge Ramey to play with him, so I am playing, but your city might have another foursome if the chief can get a foursome put together.
I'm playing.
Yeah.
The judge tapped him.
Yeah, I heard you. Yes.
We don't say no.
No.
Yes, there's other ways. If you do not play golf, there's other ways to support SCAT as far as full sponsors. That's right. There will be
prizes. Both the driver and the golf bag, as I recall. Putter, excuse me. Okay. The two grand prizes walk out the door in one hand.
Thank you.
Some of us sitting at the same table didn't have any prizes. You have to buy tickets to win, though. You must have had enough for it. Okay. That brings us to the end of our scheduled agenda items. The informational items are on the back of your agenda. I would like to refer you to item A, the taxation report. This is the first time in my memory that the tax office has actually printed the percentage change on it. That is a plus 6.2%, so that's very good news. I don't know if we're gonna, that's a new one from the new tax commissioner or not. Might want to put a plus sign in front of it in the future. This is very good news, but again, it just represents the first 6 months of the year, and we'll see where it goes from there. Part of the big difference here was, if you notice, the refunds were down a lot in June. We had been hurting for refunds previous to that, previous to this month, so that's part of it, and our receipts are up as well. So that's good news for us. We hope it continues. All right. There's no further business. Is there a motion to adjourn? Been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye. Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting on Monday, August the 19th at 7:30 p.m.